Deuteronomy chapter 6 is an interesting passage. If you know the study of the first five books of the Bible, you see that that's a history lesson, and they're in chronological order. And what God is doing in the book of Deuteronomy is he is repeating the law to the children of Israel. He's repeating and giving them the laws and reminding them, because at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses dies. One of the interesting things about that is, some people say, well, the book of Deuteronomy couldn't have been written by Moses, because it writes about Moses' death. Now think about this. I want you to get this. Why couldn't Moses write about his death? If he was being coached in what to write, which he was, God was telling him what to write, he could write about his death. And they're saying, well, people say, well, no, there's no way for him to write about his death. Absolutely he could, because God was telling him what to write, and God knew how it was going to happen. And so we've got to remember who the author of the book is. Even though Moses may have penned, and the Bible says that he penned the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and some of the Psalms as well, but the Bible, it was not Moses' idea or Paul's idea or Daniel. Moses, those guys just penned what God told them to pen. But here in the book of Deuteronomy, what we see is the fact that God's giving them some lessons here. And what I want to focus a little bit on tonight is teaching diligently. There's a philosophy in our world today that teaches it, that has the mindset that teaching is not that important. And I'll be honest with you, it would be hard for me to teach something I didn't believe in. Because if I was trying to teach something that I didn't believe in, like it or not, I'd be a con man. I'd be a hypocrite. Because you're trying to convince somebody something you don't believe. I'd have never been a good salesman, okay? Because I'd have been real, real honest with people, and I'd probably starve. And that's pretty much the truth. But I'm glad that God has called me to something that I can not only throw myself into, but I believe with 100% of my being. And I could not be a pastor of a church that did not have the right doctrine or the right Bible and didn't have the right motive. And so what I want us to spend some time on tonight is how are we supposed to teach diligently? Diligently, I use the illustration, if you had a $10,000 check and you lost it somewhere in your house, how diligently would you look for it? There wouldn't be anything turned, everything be turned upside down, inside out. I mean, you'd dump the trash in the middle of the kitchen floor if you had to, whatever. But the bottom line is, you would look for it diligently. And that's what God's calling us to do here. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God, starting with verse 1. We're going to read a few verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we ask you to do something special in our service tonight. It's a different kind of message, but Lord, it's one that we need to learn. Lord, I ask you to help us, speak to us, let your Holy Spirit be in control, and keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you understand, one of the things that took place in our country when our America was founded was the fact that they believed this passage, and that's why you can't go anywhere in the government without seeing scriptures carved into the monuments. And they put a lot of the scriptures in the monuments. But I want you to understand, I had some very, very good teachers. And I had some very, very bad teachers. I think we could probably all say that. But the difference is, and a lot of it had to do, is whether they were had just had a job or had a passion. There's a difference in teaching. One of the things that I've mentioned this before, the first time I started teaching was in third grade. In third grade Sunday school with Sharon, and my philosophy wasn't what it is today, because I saw when I would share something that little lights, you could just about see little lights come on right behind those eyes. Their eyes would get big, and I'm gonna tell you, that stirred me up. And one of the things that we need to realize is, to teach, we have to believe in what we're teaching. There's nothing more valuable in this world than teaching God's word. Amen. Nothing more important. But you know that I've had Sunday school teachers, maybe some of you have too, that taught me, and I remember them today. And there's some of them that taught me, and I just kind of winch when I think about them, because I don't remember them teaching me anything. And the truth is, how do you teach? How do you make a difference? I want you to understand, there's some principles that we have to, and I hope you write some of these down, but there's principles when you're teaching that makes a difference. Number one, like I said, you've got to believe in what you're teaching. Number two, when I step into the pulpit, when I stepped into the classroom, I wanted to have something valuable to impart to my students, to my church, so I don't waste your time. Because I could waste your time. Now I want you to think, we're here for an hour, and everybody here, say there's 25 people here or whatever, that's 25 hours collectively, and I could waste that time if I'm not teaching something that's beneficial to you. And so I don't take that lightly. Why? Well, I don't want to waste your time, for one. And number two, I'm going to give an account one day. That's right. And so I take that serious. That's right. And so when we look into it, when we become a teacher, one of the things that I cannot understand or cannot handle is the fact that when a teacher teaches, they read. If you're reading, and this is my philosophy, if you're reading to me, just hand me the material and I'll read it myself. One of the hard parts of being a Bible college professor was I had so much material to cover that I had to highlight certain things, and certain things I had to read to make sure that they understood, because there's no way for me to get a two-paragraph section without reading it. But I would stop and explain it and interject the lesson from that. Because if I'm sitting there reading to somebody, might as well give them an alarm clock when we're done, because they're going to go to sleep. You're not going to impart anything valuable to somebody if you're reading to them. Okay? I've seen preachers that'll stand up and preach, and they're preaching and reading. To me, that's hard for me to sit through. Okay? Every person's their own, it's up to them how the Lord leads them to do it. But the truth is, we're supposed to make sure that we know the material well enough that we don't have to read it. Because that's not teaching. And you might as well just hand out papers and let the students read it. That's the key. What does it say in verse 7? And thou shalt teach them diligently. That word diligently means that you've got a passion. You've got something, you're motivated by a reason. I remember one of the things that I did is I taught church planning when I was at Landmark Baptist College. And I had taken the class, but at that point I had not planted any churches. The Lord knew I was going to. But one of the things I got involved in and I got excited over was the fact that I gave each one of the students an assignment, and I gave them a state. And they had to do the research as to where there needed to be an independent, fundamental King James Bible-believing Baptist church planted. That means that they had to do the research online and study that state and find out where there needed to be one. And then I turned it around. And we had a couple classes where the students... each one gave a presentation as if they're on deputation to plant a church in that particular town that they found that needed a church. And I'm going to tell you right then, I was ready to plant a church after they did that, because they did such a good job. And the Lord gives us insight on how to do things, but the most important thing as a teacher is, what are you trying to get across to your students? And is it really important? One of the toughest classes I taught, and I'm going to tell you, I'm glad they didn't video it, because there's no evidence of it today. But it was anthropology. And I don't even like ants. But the truth is, that was a tough class because you had to do so much study on the in-depth study on the history of man, and it's just hard to teach. And I know I didn't do a very good job of it because I wasn't into it. I didn't know that much about it. I'd never taken the class. But the truth is, there are classes that I taught, and I taught with a passion. Why? Because I believed in them. And we as Christians, we as Sunday school teachers, need to have a passion, because, and once this got into my head, in my heart, it changed me as a teacher. It's more my responsibility to make the students want to learn than it is for the students' responsibility to learn. I've got to teach them in such a way, I've got to make it so interesting to them to help them understand that it's for their benefit that we're teaching, and what I'm teaching, and how to teach it, how to implement it in their lives. And that's what we need to do, because if you don't come to that, the teachers that made the difference in your lives and in mine had a passion about it. And they looked past this old hard-headed scoundrel of a boy and said, I'm still going to try to give him something, even though doesn't seem to be paying attention. By the way, it's interesting. One of the things that we found when we taught Sunday school is we would teach children and they did not seem like they were even heard a word you said. But those, a lot of times, are the ones that grasp the most of it. So how do you do that? I don't understand how they do it. Because it doesn't work for me. But some of them it works for. But the key is, how do you get inside their head and their heart? You've got to find a way. As a teacher, you've got to find a way to reach every child, every student, every person in your class. And how do you do that, preacher? There are some that you're not going to reach because they don't want to be reached. But you cannot count on that. One of the students that I had the most difficulty with when I was on staff at the college is a foreign student. One night I was on college security. I was in charge of college security and church security, and got calls in the middle of the night and all kinds of things. 11:30 at night, I'm getting a phone call that this particular individual was on duty, and what they said was they can't find the keys. Now, this is a ring of keys to every door at Landmark Baptist College, and they can't find the keys. So guess what? Sharon and I get dressed at 11:30 at night, head over to the Landmark Baptist College. I do an investigation. I find out about this individual and find out who was the last one that did the rounds and had the keys. He had a second job after that at a motel. He was a night clerk. So I called him. I had his cell phone number. I called him. I said, the keys are missing. And you were the last one to have them. And he said, well, I'm at my job. I can't come right now. I said, I'll see you in 15 minutes or you're going to be scratched from your I-20 and you'll be going back home. Guess what? I saw him about 15 minutes. That was just one illustration of an issue that I had with this particular. There were many of them. Of all those that you figured would probably not make a difference in the ministry, he would be within the top three. But I've heard that he's doing a great job in his country. Reaching souls, planting churches. See, if I'd got an attitude about that man, and it was hard sometimes to fight it, but if I'd gotten an attitude that I wrote him off, I'd be writing off all those souls. I'd be writing off all those churches that he started. And somewhere in the line, God got hold of him. And so what we have to do, and I've had one of the opportunities I've had is to teach in the jails. And I got an opportunity one time to teach in the boot camp, the juvenile boot camp that they had here in Polk County for a while. And I had one of the nurses come in, and they were teaching a class, and I think I've mentioned this before, but the nurse said there are some people, some of those kids you just can't reach. And I thought about that for a minute, and I stewed on that for a minute, and I raised my hand. She called on me, and I said, ma'am, I said, you're saying that some of them we can't reach. I said, that's almost like saying that there's a nut too hard for my God to crack. And I don't believe that. A lot of times, you're going to have students that are going to fight you, that are going to be disruptive, that are going to be trouble. I resemble that remark. I was that way. I mean, I'm being honest. But praise God, somewhere down the line, he snapped me back in line. And there's a lot of them. I mean, let's face it. Who would have thought the Apostle Paul would have, Saul of Tarsus would have gotten saved and become the Apostle Paul, writing half the New Testament? You can't write anybody off, because God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. But one of the things as a teacher you have to impart is you've got to teach them not only, and this is the hard part, you've got to teach people something that's beneficial to them, but then what happens if you teach them just enough material to get them by, but you don't teach them enough to want to teach others? Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We were there this morning about the good soldier, but the two verses ahead of that help us understand the value of the Apostle Paul and what he was trying to teach his son in the faith, Timothy. Look at verse 1 and 2, and it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." What good is it to teach somebody? And I believe it's good to teach. But you want to teach somebody not only so they get the information and they make a decision to follow the information and use it, but they also see the value of passing it on.
Right.
You know, all of us have benefited from preachers and teachers that have done exactly that. They've not only grasped the value of the information that someone gave them, but they passed the torch on. And another one passed the torch on. And they passed the torch on. Hey, that's how we got saved. We got saved because all of the people ahead of us saw the value in the Word of God. And they got saved, and they said, "I need to pass this on to somebody else. I need to pass this on to somebody else." That's why we go knocking doors. That's why we pass out tracts. That's why we have a website. That's why we do what we do and try to make a difference where we go, is to make sure that people understand that there need to be teachers. That's how important it is for young people, for children, to be in church so we can teach them. So when our time comes that we're in heaven, there's still a faithful witness here to teach others also. But the key is, you've got to keep it interesting. And you've got to teach it with a passion. I cringed even in high school to stand up in front of people. It wasn't what I planned on doing. It wasn't what I thought I'd do. I was comfortable just working at the phosphate mines and being a painter and bringing home a paycheck for my family. But the Lord had other plans. Moses wasn't comfortable speaking in front of Pharaoh either. In fact, he got the Lord upset when he said, send somebody else. The Lord said, no, you're going to go. I'm glad he didn't head the other way. He might have met a whale too, just like Jonah. But the truth is, this world needs teachers. Teachers with passion. Teachers that are going to be diligent about teaching. Not just teach them enough to get by. Because I think we're going to give an account to the Lord for things that we do just enough to get by. I think there's something in the Bible that says when they want you to go 1 mile, go two. That's why we call it going the extra mile. Above and beyond the call of duty, if you want to. Sometimes this world just gets caught up in doing just enough to get by. That's not a diligent teacher. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. Because one of these days, our life is going to be over. One of these days, we're going to hear the trumpet sound, and only what we've done for Christ is going to last. Only what we've done for Him is going to count. And it's hard for us sometimes because we've got so many pressures, so many time constraints, so many issues. The pain, as we get older, we get aches and pains, that things that we don't feel like doing, the Lord's still calling us to do. Paul had his thorn in the flesh. But what are we going to leave behind? That's the key. God wants us to, as teachers, and I'm not talking just to the teachers here. We've got teachers here that teach Sunday school and children's church, but all of us are teachers. If you're a parent, you're a teacher. If you've got friends, you're a teacher. If you've got neighbors, you're a teacher. If you've got family, you're a teacher. They're watching. And it doesn't matter what you say if what you're doing doesn't match what you're saying. But I like this passage because if you look, let's read that again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, because that's the context of what we went into this morning. Thou, start with verse 1 again. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's the context. Endure hardness. Is it hard to be a teacher? Yeah. There are people that flunked out of some of my classes, and I would have liked to have given them a passing grade, but they turned the term paper in too late, or bombed out on the final exam or whatever. And some of these were my friends. And you want to talk about getting them upset with you because you failed them in a class. And guess what? That's enduring hardness as a friend. But the truth is, you got to do what's right. That's right. You got to teach it right. There are rules and you need to follow by. Having students that write the answers on their left hand so they can look at their left hand and write the answers on the paper. Those are kind of crazy. Those are easy. There are some of them I had to scratch out of a whole class because of plagiarism. By the way, a lot of the foreign students didn't understand plagiarism, but they do now. They learned the hard way. But how do you teach if you don't have a passion for teaching? You're not going to do much good. If you don't keep it interesting, you're not going to do much good. And if you're not diligent about what you're teaching, you're not going to do much good. These are lessons that I've learned, some of them the hard way. But the most important thing is, if you've got information that you want to impart on your students, you have to let them know how valuable it is and how important, and that it will be life-changing. Teach them lessons that are life-changing. Find a lesson in there. If you only get, and this is one of the things they taught us at college, if you get across one concept to a student or to a church when you're preaching or teaching, you've done well. If you give them one good, valuable lesson, you can build on that next time. And you can build on that next time. And that's what you do. And that's why I preach the way I do, is I try to teach lessons that are found in the Bible. Simple lessons like I did this morning about David not being where he was supposed to be. That's a simple lesson that we can all see, and we can all see the danger of through the life of David. And as a teacher, you bring things out like that to teach your students, because that is how they're going to see the value. Number one, once they put it into practice in their life, they're going to say, I want to pass this on to my friend. I want to pass this on to my family. I want to pass this on to my students. Maybe they'll be teachers. It's very humbling to me that one of my students is now the vice president of Landmark Baptist College. And some of my students are pastors now, very successful pastors. Some of them are missionaries. Not because I'm special. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about you. But the value is in the book. And what we've got to do is be so passionate about what we're teaching and sharing it with people that they see it in us. I heard one man tell me, he said, I don't believe what you do, but I don't doubt that you believe it. Now that's the way it ought to come across. Even if they don't grasp it, even if they don't believe what we believe, they ought to realize that we really believe it. And if you don't believe it, you're not going to be able to teach it. If you don't know your material, you're not going to be able to teach it. If you don't care for your students, you're not going to be able to teach it. And that's where it becomes a hardship. That's enduring hardness, is trying to teach when you really don't care. And there's a lot of teachers, a lot of preachers that way, that it's just a paycheck. And I want to tell you that don't happen here, because church don't pay me. But I praise the Lord that I've had teachers that imparted into me the value of what I'm teaching and what I'm doing. And you do it right, and you pour yourself into it, and God will bless. That's right. if you're a shyster, or like Jesus calls in John chapter 10, a hireling, you're not going to make much of a difference. And when the hardness comes, you're not going to endure it. You're going to bail. You're going to head out the door. That's when you can tell what a teacher's made out of, a preacher's made out of. Some lessons about teaching tonight. This world needs people who love Jesus enough to be passionate about teaching. Passionate about giving the truth out. We're so hurting for people that are passionate in our world today. But this church, we're going to do our dead level best to try to be as passionate and teach people the value of coming to church, of hearing the Bible, of standing for Jesus, of doing things God's way, of praying and asking God to bless. When you do all the other things, God's obligated. He has obligated Himself to hear our prayer and answer when we do it His way. Amen. What kind of teacher are you? I wish I could always say that I was the type of teacher I needed to be. I've improved some, but I still have work in areas. But don't get satisfied. Always strive to improve. Always strive to reach that hard student. You never know that he might be a church planter one day. Might be a hard-headed little boy, blonde-haired little boy, and become a bald-headed church planter. But praise God, nobody's too hard for our God to reach. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. The Lord, is just a gut check time on how to teach and how to do things your way and how to make a difference. And Lord, I just come before you asking you to help us. Help us to make a difference. Help us to be a passionate teacher. Help us to be passionate about the things of God. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us and the way you watch over us. And Lord, we ask you to help us share the word of God in such a fashion that even if the person doesn't agree with us and believe what we do, there's no doubt in their mind that we believe it. Move in the invitation as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.